We've got about 25 minutes left. Take your Bible, if you would. Turn with me, 1 John chapter 4, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. So are you guys tired of all of the ads on television, all of the ads in the paper, all of the ads, and everywhere you go, people are trying to get your money, trying to get you to buy this and that, and saying that you desperately need this, or your spouse needs this, or your children need this for Christmas? I'm tired of it. And I don't believe it either. I don't believe it. They don't. Come on. Well, Christmas is about giving. I mean, even the lost world knows about that. And if you think about the idea of giving, there's lots of reasons or motivations for giving. Foundationally, we as a human race give because it is in our ability, our aptitude, our makeup to care for others, to place value on others, and give. There's different types of love. There's family love. There's friendship love. There's romantic love. And we're built in to respond to those we place value on and want to give. We receive satisfaction when we give. Christmas is about giving. We receive satisfaction when we give. And we are built to receive satisfaction by receiving. And so, folks, foundationally, this idea of giving is comes from our Creator. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are made in His image. And I think that part of the reason why we are able to give is because our Creator can give. So this Christmas, all across America, people will be motivated for many reasons. And a lot of these reasons for giving, whether it be family love or romantic love, it really is based on how we feel. How do I feel? How do I feel about you? Do I like you? Do I not like you? Some of our giving is based from a sense of duty. You know, like, you've been here. They're going to get me something, so I know that I have to get them something, right? Some of this idea of giving also has the idea of performance in. We don't believe in Santa Claus here. We get it. But there's a song. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna see who's been naughty or nice, right? There's performance. You know, so I think when it comes to Christmas, while we have the ability and the motivation and the desire to give, I think really we're not sure exactly where this comes from or really how even to understand ourselves. Are we motivated by how we feel, or am I motivated by guilt, or am I motivated because this is what we always do, or am I what's going on? Can I tell you that the true Christmas story is motivated by something deeper than what our culture is motivated by? The true Christmas story is about giving, but it's motivated by love. And it's motivated by pure love, true love. So last week we looked at hope. Today we're going to look at briefly by love. And so I know my time is sort of ticking by. We're going to run through this. We're motivated by love. The true Christmas story, folks, that we find in Scripture, that's a historical fact, is a story of true, pure love. I'd like to share this with you if I could. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll start. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the great morning that we've had so far. And Lord, I'm trying to trust you in what I think that you want, and I'm going right into this message now. And Father, I pray that you would use it and that people would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me, if you would, at 1 John chapter 4, and look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Now, I'd like to stop there and ask you a question. Where does true love come from? What does it say? It comes from God, and this word love is this agape love. We'll talk about that. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4, chapter 7, whoever loves has been born of God and know God. So, second question. We know that love comes from God, but does man naturally have this type of love in them? So, we had all of these young children being dedicated to the Lord. Were they born with this type of love? What does that verse say? I would say they were not born with this type of love, because whoever has the love of God knows Him and has been born from Him. Does that make sense? So mankind on this planet, while they were born in the image of God and they have the capacity for true love, and their Creator is a truly loving God, it's part of His character, they are not born with this type of love, because sin has separated us from God. To love like God, you need to know Him and be born by Him. That's what the Bible says here. All across America, at Christmas time, there is love being shown, but it is not this type of love. I think that culturally, this cultural Christmas giving sort of mimics God's love, but it's a broken, tainted version of it. So pure love originates from God. We could say God's love is self-motivated, or it originates in Him alone. And folks, anything from God is life-giving for us. And I submit to you this morning, there is nothing that will fill your heart with joy and peace and stability like the love of God shining into your heart. Let me show you this. You're in 1 John 4. Look with me at verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is in the world, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Do you see what John is saying about love? It is everything. This is why Paul says in Ephesians 3, I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend what all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and be filled with the fullness of God. So in God's character is pure love that gives life. And how does he exercise it? How does he show it? Well, verse 7, I think, here is one of the best verses. Rather, verse 9 is one of the best verses that talks about Christmas and what God has done. I love this verse. Look with me. There's two parts. In this, the love of God was made manifest or shown among us. So God has love. It only comes from him. And this awesome, life-giving love of God was shown among us. God sent his Son into the world, that's one part, so that we might live through him, that's the second part. Can I share with you what I believe God's love is? It's two parts. It's giving with someone else's best in mind, someone else's equalities in mind, someone else's superiority than the giver of mine. There's a lot of giving going on at Christmas, but I've never heard of someone giving all that they have so that they, in return, as the giver, can be made less or lower than the person that is giving. I've never heard of that. You know, when it comes to giving at Christmas, I'm willing to give a small portion. I'm willing to give part of what I have because that's manageable and that's comfortable for me. But I will not give you everything that I have so I can have nothing. That's crazy talk. Me. What type of crazy thinking would say, I will give everything so that someone else may have all that I have? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Well, here's another issue. What if that person did not like me or even hated me? Romans 5:7. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person would one die. But God shows his love for us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, this type of love is outside our ability. So, let me be honest with you. This time thing is messing with me, so I'm flustered, and that's why I'm not speaking clearly. So I'm just going to put this aside, and I'm just going to talk to you. Can I do that? Look with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This week, God has burdened me about one topic. Okay? And this topic is sort of toward the end of my message, but I'm just going to share it with you, because I feel that's maybe what God wants me to do right now, just talk about this. Philippians chapter 2. We know that God's love is self-sacrificing. We know that God gave everything, and he gave it in a way that puts himself lower than the person that's receiving it. But there's this other aspect of giving. When Jesus came to earth, one of the things that we don't make a big deal of or we forget about is this idea of simply coming to earth being a sacrifice for Jesus himself. Okay? So we know that Jesus came to go to the cross. We know that Jesus came to go to the cross and be resurrected, right? That's why he came. But I submit to you that there is something special that we miss in the nativity, the kenosis itself. Now, are you in Philippians chapter 2? It would help if I would get there. Let me get there. Where is it at? Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Now, look up here. What we're talking about is the word kenosis. It's when God the Father sends his son comes to earth and takes on human flesh. When does that happen? It happens at Christmas time, or the time that we're celebrating. And what does God himself define the nativity, Jesus being born from a human? How does he define it? Did you see it? Philippians chapter 2, look with me again, verse 7. But he made himself what? Nothing. Taking the form of a what? Taking a form of a servant. You know, we celebrate this idea of nativity. We celebrate this idea of Christmas. And we love to see nativity scenes. Aren't they so cute? If you go down here, down the road, this guy has this big nativity scene set up. And it's amazing. I love seeing that stuff. But do you know, while we see it as something cute, God defines it as something called sacrifice. Because when Jesus came to earth, he did some stuff that was very difficult for him to do. One of the things that he did is he wrapped himself in human flesh. And folks, when Jesus wrapped himself in human flesh, it was beneath his dignity. Jesus is pure, sinless, holy, spotless Son of God. And for him to come to earth and be born as a guy, as a man, as a human being, even that itself was a great sacrifice. So I want us this morning not to say, yeah, but the cross, that's the big one. It is. That's coming. But right now, we're at Christmas time where we talk about the birth. And the birth was a sacrifice. It's interesting, people use the words wrapped himself in human flesh. I want you to think of this. I want you to think of a coat. And that coat is nasty. That coat has been down in a septic system. That coat has nails stuck in it. And I want you to think of taking your shirt off and putting that coat on. Immediately you're like, that is nasty. It's not going to happen. And that would hurt. Okay. I have been impressed that this week, just to think about and meditate on the great
indignity it was to the senses of the Son of God simply to be born a human being. Now you may say, wait a second, we're not that bad. And I would say you're right. We have value. We're made in the image of God. Jesus died for us. We are eternal beings. We have value. But the Bible says when Jesus came to earth, he stooped low. And folks, it is good for us to contemplate our lowness. Is it not? He stooped low. So the main thought that God has impressed upon me this week is when Jesus came to earth, really, it was beneath his dignity. I love hearing stories of missionaries when they go to a third world country to minister and how much of a culture shock it is for them to begin to minister there. I want you to picture in your mind a middle class to upper class family going to a third world country, and they go on their first day of ministry, and there are children squatting in filth, eating stuff off the ground. And they do the same. And everything inside of them is saying, this is beneath me. I don't like it. Folks, that's a little bit of what Jesus did. Okay? So the nativity isn't a cute thing. God the Father calls it a sacrifice. Now, so here's the application part. And this, being honest with you, I feel like God has impressed upon me this week to share this with you. Folks, we are called to follow in our Lord's footsteps. And that includes following him into circumstances that we feel are beneath our dignity. Does that make sense? So I don't know who I'm talking to here, but perhaps right now you're going through situations in your life that you say, this is not fair, this is not right, I don't deserve it, I hate this, this is below me, I don't want anything to do with this, and yet God has placed you in that. Being a Christian means to follow the Lord Jesus, and just even by being born as a human being, he did something that was beneath him. So, how many of you really enjoy your extended family get-together discussions on politics? You ever had those? You better believe then you need to be watched out for, right? You know what I'm talking about? When you're sitting all around the table and like everybody's there. I'm the oldest of 27 grandkids, man. We got big get-togethers. Everybody's there and everybody has an opinion, right? And they're all talking about, you know what I'm talking about? And it doesn't go long into this discussion when your wife looks at you or your kids are looking at you and you're like, why did we come here and do this again? You're right. You've been there. Have you ever, I remember back when I was still in college, my dad had this great idea for a couple of years on the holidays to going to the local mission and serving. And we would do that. And folks, do you know that sometimes in missions or homeless shelters, there are people who do not appreciate what you're doing? Right? And they can treat you poorly. And they can complain. And they can say things to you that are mean. And about that time, you're looking at your dad saying, this is a really dumb idea. They don't deserve this. You've been there, right? Okay, that's some small things that I feel are beneath my dignity. Okay, I know what politics are right, and I know what my right worldview is, and I don't need to listen to doofus over there running his mouth like he does every year. Right? I've handled my finances better than these people. I don't need to go and serve them. They're ingrates. This is below me. Why are we even here? Right? And what wells up in us is to say, this is beneath what I feel I deserve. And this insults my sensibilities. And I would say to you that you're right. But I would also say to you that if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, He has called you to be like Him. And we're celebrating the love of God sent through His Son, because that's what His love does. It's action. It wants to serve others. It wants to say, I'm going to give you everything that I have, and I will even be lower than you now. I will have nothing, and I'm okay with it. That's the love of God. Now, folks, that is hard for us, but that's the love we're called to follow. At times we can say, I'm into the love of God, but I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm not going to give that. It's below me. Come on. So I can't help but think that there are circumstances that we are going to face this holiday season where God is going to ask you to love like He loved. And I'm not talking about the cross. I'm talking about simply the nativity, the kenosis, Jesus coming. That was a sacrifice in and of itself. That's a big thing. That's a difficult thing for us to do. So one of the things that God has encouraged me to think about this week is that, and to step toward opportunities that I see where God would allow me to serve and it would be outside my comfort zone. Do you know that right now I have things that I know that I'm going to attend that I don't want to, because when I attend, I know that I will be put down. When I attend, I know that they don't give me respect as a pastor, man. Come on. And what God does is He reveals my pride and my self-righteousness. Okay? There are things in your future in these holidays that you know are coming that you're not going to like because it's uncomfortable for you. And what I'm going to challenge us to do this year is to step toward those opportunities that are beliefs below our dignity. Step toward those opportunities that puts us outside of our comfort zone and makes us show the love of Christ. And I got to tell you, right now I'm already trying to think of ways that I can move around that and not really have to do it. Because it's hard. You know, God loves us so much. He loves us so much that He would send His Son, and even in the act of coming to earth, it was to Him a great sacrifice. It's beneath His dignity. C.S. Lewis says, "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. We are behaving as if you love someone. Eventually, you will be presently surprised that you do come to love that person." Will you this year, this is super simple, and so I want you to look at this. I got like 2 pages of notes, and they all just went out the window. Okay? And I know that we're really close to being finished with time. Will you commit this holiday season to show the love of Christ to people who don't deserve it? To show the love of Christ to people in circumstances that you feel are beneath your dignity. I'm not saying put yourself under abuse. I'm not saying put yourself in harm's way. But I'm saying, will you step toward opportunities to love? And folks, when you do so, God's grace will be there to empower you to do it. Let me give you one example. I worked with a guy, we'll call him Jim. It's not his name. It does start with a J. Too much information. I worked with a guy, and this dude was an abusive guy. He was just mean and selfish and angry. He treated people with contempt. And if he had any power over you, all he wanted to do was to use that. And I really did not like this guy. No one did. Pretty lazy, I thought. But I would spend time with him because I had to, and Jim slowly began to open up to me, and he would play me voice messages that his dad left him. And his dad left him voice messages that went from, "I love you," to, "You're a failure," and "I hate you," and back and forth. And Jim had a lot of stuff going on in his mind and in his family. He was struggling. And it came out in the way that he treated people. So God pressed upon my heart to care for Jim. And I got to tell you, most days I did not do it well. But what God cultivated inside of me was a desire to see Jim just find peace in his life. And one of the ways that God called me to do that was to engage Jim and talk with him, all the while I knew that I was going to be treated contemptibly and be made fun of and to be used. And the problem with that is after 8 hours of it, you sort of begin to think that of yourself. You're right, I am an idiot and a failure. I might as well just forget, right? That can happen. But God, I felt God was calling me to minister to him, and I did. And over and over and over, I met with Jim, who I felt was beneath my, you don't need to treat me that way, man. And I tell you that, that simple act over and over and over made great impact on that guy. It just did. And by the time I left, the relationship that I had with him had completely changed. And he knew that God existed and that there were people in the world called Christians who didn't always act like his dad. And I hated it. But you know, the call to follow Jesus, the call to discipleship, is the call to be used sometimes. The call to go into places that we feel are beneath our dignity. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Folks, this is a super simple lesson, right? But I think it's profound in the sense that as you're listening to this, some of us are saying, yeah, but no. Or I will halfway. So when you come to the holiday dinner table, or whatever you're going to do, I want you to remember it's okay not to have the last say. And it's okay not to have the last word. And it's okay not to prove why your political party is better. And it's okay to be treated with a little bit of indignity. Because our Lord was born to something below his worth and value. There weren't even people around other than his family. There were animals that are less than human, heralding this royalty that was coming to earth. Okay? And God the Father had willed it, and the Son had accepted it, and that's our calling. Will you do that? You know, when you try, God gives you grace. I can't tell you the grace that God has given me when I've stepped into things that I felt were beneath me. He has helped me over and over. And by the way, he's sucked out some of that pride that's in me. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for today. And Father, I think this has been a wonderful Sunday. Thank you so much for blessing our church. Lord, we're so thankful for the people who have joined our church. We're thankful for the children who have been dedicated. And Lord, I pray that the message that you gave me, a small portion here that I was able to share, that it would find root in the hearts of people. Lord, we are in awe at the fact that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And Father, even the act of being born a human being was disrespectful and disgraceful. But Father, it was motivated by love. And Lord, oh, the value that came from this act of love, this Messiah that gave us life that we have. And Lord, I can't help but see that our acts of love, where we feel disrespected and disloyal, and Father, when we feel that people are treating us poorly, Lord, that you can't redeem those things for good. Lord, I know you can. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to step into opportunities of ministry of grace this season. In Jesus' name, amen.